Okay, can you please state your name?
Charles Stratton.
And your date of birth?
November 6th, 1922.
Okay. Where were you born and raised?
In La Grande.
Okay.
I was born out here on Cove Avenue and Watson Street. The house is still there.
Okay. And were your parents from this area?
My dad was born in Elgin, I believe, and my mother was born in Clark, Nebraska, but she came out west when she was 8 years old.
Do you know what brought them here?
No, I don't. My grandfather was a carpenter, and I suppose that was the reason. I don't know much about that part of the family, either part of the family for that matter.
Okay. So what kind of work was your dad doing at the time of your birth? You weren't raised on a farm or a ranch or anything?
No, no.
So.
He worked for the railroad in the freight office, and then he went to work for the post office carrying mail, and I don't know just when he switched.
Okay. So tell me what it was like to grow up on Cove and Watson.
I didn't grow up there.
Okay. How long were you there?
I think our folks moved when I was two, around that age. And we moved down on 11th Street. Okay. And K.
So what was it like to grow up on 11th and K?
I wouldn't know whether it was any different than any place else.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Did you, what kinds of activities did you like to do as a kid?
You know, the only thing I really remember about down there in Lansing Cave, the ice cream wagon used to come around in the summertime, and it was a horse-drawn ice cream wagon. And that's the one thing I remember about down there on Lansing Cave. And we played with neighborhood kids, and we played in the neighborhood.
Can you tell me more about that ice cream wagon?
Well, it was a horse-drawn wagon, and he had ice cream in 5 gallon cans like they used to have, and they hand-dipped them out of the cans. And he'd come around every afternoon. I don't know whether it was every afternoon or not, but we watched for him. And
how did he keep it cold?
Well, they'd pack it in ice. I don't know if they had dry ice then or not, but they were packed in ice of some kind with packers on them. Cold.
Can you remember the different flavors?
No.
You didn't have a favorite that you looked forward to?
No, I don't remember.
Okay. So were there a lot of kids who came to see this?
Well, there was one neighbor that had, four kids, and we had three in our family, and there was a couple behind us. So there were a few kids that come around, but he went around and down 11th Street, and I don't know where he went from there.
Growing up. You were telling me about some of the neighbor kids in the area and the ice cream wagon.
Mm-hmm.
What other things were going on when you were a kid?
Well, they were building the college at that time. And all of that excavating was done with horses.
Did you watch that?
A little, but not very much. Mm-hmm. And then after college was built, we used to go up on the lawn and see a kite out towards the cemetery. There was no buildings out there at that time.
What buildings were there? Can you tell me more about
just
how
the administration building was all it was.
Okay.
And at the time they built that, in their plans, they were going to put a set of stairs, like to put down the front of the building. They were going to put a set of stairs towards K Avenue, the same way,
mm-hmm.
which never materialized. But that was in their original plans. And anyhow, that was a rumor that was going around. So we're going to put steps down that side too.
So in the front lawn of Inlow is where you flew the kite?
Well, I always considered the back side.
The front side
went down the stairs.
Right.
But we used to sit out there on the lawn. We had a good sized lawn back there, and we'd sit out there and fly our kites.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of chores were you responsible for at home?
Throwing in the wood.
Throwing in the wood?
Yeah, that's about. Of course, I wasn't hardly old enough to do too much stuff.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school?
Well, I started the first 2 years in Central School, and then they got to third grade. They didn't have first and second grade for me when I went through, where they first started. And then the third year, they added the third grade, so I'd like to go to Akron. And my sister started first grade in Akron, and I started the third grade in Akron.
Where did you attend first and second grade then?
At Central.
Oh, at Central. And then you moved over to Akron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of funny. I shouldn't say this, but I really thought a lot of my second grade teacher. And she was really neat. One day a woman came and brought a picture of our class, our second grade class, and wanted to know if I could remember the kid's name. I didn't realize that poor woman was so homely.
Oh, no.
Oh, she was a homeless woman, but she was just as nice as she could be.
I won't ask you what her name was, but...
She was killed in a car wreck.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That was after she retired. That was long after mm-hmm. she retired, but she was a nice teacher.
Funny how we remember how some teachers just really stand out in our mind.
She, little kids don't think about people by looks, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I had a mean old first grade teacher.
How did you get to school? Did you walk?
Walked, oh yeah, we didn't have school buses or anything in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Today they won't let them walk across the street. That's why they've got so many obese kids.
Mm-hmm. So you walked to school and you, were there any activities going on at school at that age or did that come later?
Well, I don't remember anything. There wasn't any after school activities.
Mm-hmm.
Between school recess.
Do you remember hanging out in any particular businesses downtown with your family? Did you have a favorite restaurant or anything that you went to?
We never ate in restaurants. I don't know. I guess there were restaurants, but I didn't even eat out the first time in a restaurant when I was carrying papers, and that would have been when I was probably 12, 13 years old. It scared me to death. We were going to the papers department, took all the carriers to dinner. And it really scared us. And most of the kids there was a sad fact, felt the same way I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't eat out in those days.
Where did they take you to eat?
The Green Parrot Grill. And that was in the Foley Hotel.
What was that like?
It scared us, and we were all sitting there, and one of the kids dropped his spoon or fork or something. And there was a waiter standing there, and boy, he handed him another fork right away.
This was a little more formal dining, too, not just eating out,
fancy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what that restaurant looked like?
Yes.
Do you remember what you thought about when you walked in there?
No, it wasn't a real fancy restaurant. I don't know if it was even the best restaurant in town at the time, but it was in the hotel there. I remember.
Can you tell me more about what it looked like?
No. It was a normal restaurant. And the table and chairs. What else do you have in the restaurant?
There was no particular design or decorations that.
Well, it was. I remember the color. It was kind of a. Well, it had a green tone, kind of a yellowish green, and then it was trimmed in green.
Is that why it had its name, the green parrot?
Well, it's probably why it had it had the color, was the green parrot.
So you started delivering papers at age 11. Was that your first job?
Yes. First job I got paid for.
Mm-hmm.
I got up at 6 o'clock every morning, maybe it was 5:30 to meet the train at 6, at, 6 o'clock. The papers come in on the train from Portland. And I lost my train of thought. I got up. And you weren't supposed to be able to get a paper out until you was 12. But I started when I was 11. My brother always kind of saw that I had a job.
So when you went down to get the papers at the train, did you have to walk down there or did you do this on your bike?
Bicycle, yeah.
Okay.
And we had a basket on the front of the bike that we put our papers in.
Did you have a large route?
Not to begin with. Well, it wasn't. I think I had something like 50 papers that I blew in. And later I got a bigger route and as I got older.
How were you paid for your route? Was it like it is today? You were paid by the person you were delivering to?
Well, we had to collect for the papers.
Okay.
Collect for the papers and then pay for the papers. It was just an agent. But we were.
Mm-hmm.
Bought the papers and sold them. But, gee, I made $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's a month!
Wow.
These poor kids today, they get $5 a week, they think they're poor.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So when the papers came in on the train, I'm sure the train was just passing through, right?
Oh,
they
yeah.
weren't just coming here to deliver papers.
No,
so
it was a passenger train.
It was a passenger train?
It had a baggage car on it.
Okay. So you just went right to that car and paid for your papers?
No, we paid for our papers by the month.
Mm-hmm.
The paper company. This is the Oregon Journal, which we like to carry in.
The Oregon Journal?
They bought the News Telegram, and then the Oregonian bought the Journal through the years.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was just a business deal. If somebody didn't pay us, why, we were just out.
Mm-hmm. Did that happen frequently?
It happened once in a while, yeah.
How long did you have the paper out when you were in town?
6 years.
That's quite a long time.
Yes. In that time I carried 3 different routes.
How long do you think it would take you to run your papers?
Oh, I'd usually be home between 7 and 7:30.
That was in the evening?
No, in the morning.
In the morning. So what time did you pick up the papers?
The train was supposed to be in at 6. You get up at 5:30 and get to the train.
Mm-hmm.
Rain or shine or snow, deep snow. I carried the papers on my shoulder. Couldn't ride a bike. Snow was deep or deep.
Mm-hmm.
Paper bag and drag the snow.
This was every day?
Yes. No days off.
What if you were sick?
You got up and blew the paper and then went home and went back to bed.
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, these kids don't know how soft they have it today.
what kind of activities did you do once you got into junior high and high school?
Well, I was working at, I did play basketball, intramural sports. I played a lot of basketball. That's really the only sport other than that during gym or recess. I like to play baseball too.
Did you continue to work in high school?
Oh, well, yeah, worked all through high school.
So you were still doing the paper route up until?
Up until probably my senior year.
Okay.
I think that's when I went to work in the senior ice cream shop.
Can you tell me about that?
Making ice cream?
You made the ice cream?
Oh, sure. Only made one mistake all the time I worked there. I put some red coloring in the maple nut ice cream.
Oh. How did you make the ice cream?
Well, there's an ice cream machine there. It just puts your mixtures into frozen, and then you put them in the quart packages. You package them up and put them on in the freezer.
And then did you also do single serve? When people come in for...
Yeah, I made milkshakes. It was mostly milkshakes and drinks. That's about all that they ever sold in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had they used to sell pastries out of there. They went out, we had a bakery here in town at the time. They made pastry and bread and all that good stuff. They go over there to the bakery and get the pastry and bring over and sell.
Where was the ice cream shop located?
Down there where the credit bureau is, in that triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be a park there, and then this Dutch shop sat on one end of it, in the pointed end, where the Dutch shop sat in there.
And can you describe this building for me? I think it was quite special and unique.
Well, it was. It had a big windmill on it. It was built like you could see in Holland. It had a big windmill on it. And it didn't work when I was there, but when that was first built, that windmill turned on there. And it was a very typical Holland design.
How long did you stay in that place?
You know, I really don't remember. I think it was, I don't remember whether I was there 2 summers. I don't think I was. It was about a year that I was there.
Mm-hmm. Did you like that job?
Well, long hours and little pay. I made 25 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm. And it was an after school job or a summer job? So you worked all day long?
Yeah, I was both. I was just an after school job, and I'd go down there, I think at 3 o'clock, and go to work, and work till 9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd work on summer, on all day summer, during the summer.
Did you have any hangout places that you liked to go to when you were in high school?
I didn't have time to hang out.
Sounds like you were working all the time.
I worked all the time.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go from there? Any other after-school jobs?
Well, I was out of school by then. And then I went to work in a feed and seed cleaning outfit out of Barnum City. I worked there a couple of years. And from there I went to Spokane into the magazine business.
Can you tell me more about the feed and seed business?
Well, you clean seed and ground feed, just ground feed for cattle feed. Sack up grain. I got this one with my back today, throwing 100-pound sacks of feed around.
Mm-hmm. When did you graduate from high school?
In 41.
Did you have big plans of getting out of Le Grand at that time, or was
I never did want to leave Le Grand. I always liked Le Grand. I just didn't care to go other places. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't want to go to Spokane. But anyhow, Le Grand, the kids didn't have much opportunity to make money. I don't know about now, but then my 2 bits an hour was about common. And when I went to Spokane, I got 75 cents an hour. Of course, you want to remember, in those days, it took 75 cents was went a lot farther than they do today. Because wages weren't high then.
Something else special happened, I think, after high school. Did you meet someone?
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's not heard before. I went to Spokane.
And who was that you met?
My wife. Well, you don't want my hand to shut that off. Sorry about that.
That's okay. We're talking about someone special that you had met. You didn't tell me her name.
No, Ethel.
Ethel?
Yes.
And was she from this area?
Yes. She was born and raised here.
Mm-hmm.
We were both born and raised here. Didn't have sense enough to leave.
So were you married then before you left for Spokane?
No. Okay. Come on. Well, how long did I work up there? I was up there several months and she came up then.
Then when was it that you came back to Le Grand?
Well, in Spokane, we went to Baker for 2 years. Worked for Leo Adler over there in the magazine. And we moved back to Le Grand.
And then did you continue working for the magazines, or did you have a career change?
No, went to work in the grocery store. And then later I went to work in the hardware store. That's what I really liked the best.
When did you, or what did you do at the grocery store when you started working there?
Just clerking.
Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Well, it was a job. It's like any store work. You have your busy times and then your slower times.
Was it a large grocery store?
When you say large grocery stores, you're thinking of today's stores. And yesterday's stores weren't large stores comparing them to today's stores. It was one of the larger stores in town. But it was probably, it would stretch it if it was 5,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small. See what's in there now. I think the Chinese restaurant's in there now, where that was.
What was the name of the store?
It was McGuire's.
McGuire's? Okay. And how long did you work there as a clerk?
I don't remember.
You were... Do you recall how you were getting the groceries? Were they trucked in, or did they come in on the train?
Oh, there was a grocery warehouse here in town.
Oh, so all the supplies were just picked up locally?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have meat or dairy or things like that?
Yeah, there was a meat market there, meat market and grocery store. Whole grocery store. And your dairy products and all. Produce, fresh produce. All that good stuff. We do like the grocery store, complete. Only it wasn't in the volume that these supermarkets are, by any means.
Now, did you end up purchasing this store?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
What made you want to do that?
Well, when you have an opportunity to do something, well, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just had the opportunity to do it. People wanted to get out of the store. Retired, they were older.
Did you keep the name McGuire?
No, we changed the name. The patent's market.
Okay. So you were a business owner for the first time?
Yeah.
So what was that like?
Well, it wasn't much different than working there.
How did your job change from what you, from clerking?
Well, I don't think it made much difference. It's just that they owned the business instead of my brother and my mother in business with me.
Did they handle bookkeeping, or was that
responsibility? My mother handled the bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. My brother was in the meat market, and I was in the grocery.
So family-owned business?
Yeah.
Can you think of anything that really stands out in your mind about the grocery business at that time?
No, not really. We delivered groceries at that time. We took orders and delivered groceries.
Did you have a delivery truck?
I had bought a panel when I was in the back of the magazine. And we delivered groceries in the panel.
In the panel? Tell me what a panel is.
Well, let's see, what do they call them today? It's kind of like a... It was kind of like a pickup truck with the metal sides on it and all on the back. I had doors on the back end to shuffle stuff in and out of. It was a truck, not more or less.
Did you do your own deliveries, or did you hire someone to deliver?
We did our own.
So you were in the store working as well as running out and making deliveries?
Yeah. Yeah.
How far did you go?
Just around the ground.
And did you charge an extra fee for that?
No.
No?
No. Things were different back then than they are today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the days when they used to deliver milk house to house. Every morning the milkman would come around, the paper boy.
So did you carry milk in the store then?
Sure. There was lots of people that didn't get to have milk delivered, but they'd buy it at the store. But we sold a lot of milk.
Did you have many accounts for people in the store?
Yeah.
How did that work?
It worked reasonably well. You'd lose some accounts, run up the bill, and then drop you. Mm-hmm.
Was it typical for a family to have an account, or was that a rare occasion?
No, it wasn't rare. It was common for people to charge. We used to have charge books on the charge book for each customer, like to charge upon it.
Mm-hmm. So they each had their own book?
Yeah.
Okay. Has anything else changed in the grocery business that you think is really evident besides the size? I mean, are they still bagged the same, or do you use different materials then?
No, it's a lot different year to year. Just one instance, strawberries came in little hallets, they're called little hallets, little cups. Well, they came in a crate, and they were all open, so when you sold strawberries, we'd wrap them in paper.
In like butcher paper?
Well, it was a lot lighter paper than butcher paper, but it was, you could come on a roll just the same as butcher paper does.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd wrap them, and then we'd tie it with string. Didn't have scotch tape at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then we'd tie it with string.
Was that the same for other types of produce as well?
No. Well, yeah.
Because now you see it in you put it in a bag when you go into the store.
Yeah, they didn't have anything like that. It wasn't plastic at that time. And I don't know, you'd have to think about all that stuff. But I don't remember what we did with the produce. Well, anything that was wet, well, we would wrap it with paper, put it in a bag.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a lot of deli products, deli
meat? No.
No.
No, it wasn't anything like that. Yeah.
How were most things packaged, if there was no plastic?
Well, pretty much like the other day. Bread was in wax paper. Margins were in boxes, like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of margin today comes in cups, but they were in boxes like butter.
Mm-hmm. And cubed.
Only when they first came out with margin, they weren't allowed to color it. So you'd buy margin, it would be white, and then there was a little tube of coloring there in there with it, and you had to color it yourself.
Really?
You would have to use it white. And then they finally got the laws changed to where they could color it.
Interesting that they could provide the coloring but not mix it together.
That was the law.
What would be the benefit of having the color? What would motivate people to mix it themselves?
Because he didn't like to look so white, he wanted it to look like butter.
Can you think of any other things with packaging that stand out in your mind? We're talking about the various packaging in the grocery store, and you just mentioned something about how you would bag the groceries. Today they ask you if you want paper or plastic. Wasn't the same then?
No, we say dollar boxes that we got our merchandise in. And I'd go down the alley picking up boxes. So we'd have boxes to put groceries in, and we'd get a big order of groceries. We'd put it all in boxes. It's too big for sacks. We had sacks that we used, but larger orders, we'd use boxes.
Tell me about the shopping habits of people during the time you owned your store. Did you find that people stocked up, or did they come in more frequently?
Well, I don't think too many people stocked up. One thing we used to sell a lot of would be flour and sugar in 1,500 pound bags, which today that's unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you couldn't buy a 100 pound sack of sugar. But people used to bake their own bread, and if you go into some of these houses where there's flour and the sugar bin there, and that's something you don't see anymore. People don't stock up that much. They don't keep it on hand.
Mm-hmm.
If they got a little jar of it, they're doing good.
So then with some of the other items, did you find that your regular customers came in daily or weekly? Or?
Well, we had some customers that come in once a week, and they buy pretty heavy. But the biggest majority of them are being there every day. Several times during the week.
Mm-hmm. How did you keep track of inventory and pricing and things like that?
Well, you price stuff when it comes in.
With the
put the price on depending on your cost.
With the sticker gun or something like that? We have all scanners now, so.
I don't remember. It must have been grease pencils.
Oh, okay. So you didn't even have the stickers.
No.
You just write the price on each product.
Yeah. I really don't remember. Later, before we got out of the grocery business, we did have stamping machines that you just stamped the price on.
Mm-hmm. Were there barcodes on the products at that time?
What's a barcode? You've got to be kidding.
Do you remember when those started appearing, or were you out of the grocery business by the time the barcodes came?
I think I was out of the hardware store by the time the barcodes came.
Okay.
That's 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, if there were any barcodes on those, there were very few of them at that time.
Mm-hmm. So you did everything manually Yes. You did all of your pricing and inventory management was all done manually.
Mm-hmm.
Was that quite time consuming?
No.
No?
Take inventory once a year and the rest of the time you let it ride.
How frequently did you have to purchase supplies from the warehouse?
Well, a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you left the grocery business, where did you go?
That's when I went in, started working in the hardware.
Can you tell me more about that?
Well, I don't remember how long I worked there until we bought the store. And then we had the store, I think 15 years.
What would a daily, what would your daily routine be in the hardware store?
Waiting on customers and ordering.
Okay.
Have to write orders a couple times a week. And of course, when you want to have all the customers come in, you can handle. But we're just waiting on customers.
Was the inventory and the pricing and those things similar to what you were doing in the grocery store?
Well, similar, yeah. You just take your merchandise when it comes in and figure your cost on it and your markup and put that price on it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, by then they had stamping machines to price their stuff with.
Did you hire employees at that store?
Yeah. We had one, two, probably three besides more. Christmas time, I'd have two or three more.
What kinds of items did you sell in the hardware store?
Everything in the hardware line. And nails and bolts and plumbing supplies, electrical stuff, supplies.
Would there be any items then that wouldn't be common in a hardware store today?
Oh, I don't think so. Once in a while I want something that we used to sell and I couldn't find it and nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Like what? What would that?
Oh, I don't know right offhand.
Okay.
It's, several times I've found it. If I look far enough, I'm able to find it. I have to drive out of town to get it.
Mm-hmm. So it hasn't really changed all that much?
No, it really hasn't. It probably, well, like everything else, stuff improves. And they make it a little different and improve it, and it doesn't work as good. But
mm-hmm. Did you have a broader customer base when you switched over to hardware? People coming from further away?
I don't know. I really don't know. I know after we got out of the store and I started driving around a little bit, I was surprised to find out where some of these people lived that used to come in the store. Like up at Lost Teen, I find people I knew up there that come in the store.
Mm-hmm. Well, the hardware stores probably weren't as scattered around like a grocery store.
Well, I don't know whether the hardware at Willow and hardware at Joseph's. I think the Lost Teen is, I never was in that store, but I think they might have sold a little bit of hardware there.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a farm implement and grocery store all in one.
Where was this hardware store located that you owned?
Downtown where Radio Shack is now.
And the name of the business?
It's CME True Value, and we had it. When we bought it, it was Bowman Camps. Everybody knows where Bowman Camps was.
And can you tell me about the name? How you came up with the name?
Well, we were buying, that was the time when True Value Hardware was expanding into this area, and they were doing a lot of radio television advertising at the time, and I thought, just call it True Value Hardware. Well, we registered it at that name, and we found out later that they weren't supposed to do that, that they tied up the name. They couldn't have any more True Value stores in Oregon without our permission.
Oh.
So then the True Value people paid for us to change all of our stuff, and that's when we added the C&E, which was for Charles and Apple.
So when it became a True Value, then did you have to pay a franchise fee for that? Was it a franchise?
It was more or less of a franchise, but we didn't have to pay for that. They were glad to get us as a customer. Mm-hmm.
How long did you run the hardware store?
I think it was 15 years.
Is there anything else that stands out in your mind about the hardware business that you'd like to talk about?
Not necessarily. That building that we were in was an interesting building.
Can you tell me more about that?
It's a four-story building, and it's got a balcony and a basement which made five levels on it. Had two elevators in it. One was a big freight elevator, which was run by water pressure, the city water pressure, ran it up and down. The other was electric elevator, the passenger elevator.
How much of the building did you use?
All of it.
All of it?
Yeah, we had house floors in the basement. My chef took care of it, and we had hardware on the first floor in the balcony and the second floor. And the third floor was kind of a catch-all, third and fourth floor. I had been restoring an old car at the time, and I had a whole car body sitting up there on the fourth floor.
That's quite a big store.
Yes, it is. And I had foam cans that covered all those windows in the building, and I took the covers off and painted all the windows and replaced some glass. You want to hang out one of those windows sometime, four floors up.
Did you do that a lot?
Well, on every one of the floors, every one of the windows, yeah. I made kind of a stand deal that I'd shove out through the window, and then I could walk outside and work on the outside of the building, four floors up.
Any safety harnesses or anything?
No.
That sounds a little spooky.
Well, you get used to it after a while. Of course, I had a rail around it so I wouldn't back off.
So you did all of the windows yourself?
Yes.
Did you do any other changes to the inside of the building? Or outside?
No, I painted the first floor on the outside. But I think that's the only change that they made.
You were, I think, involved with some other things during the time that you had owned the hardware store. Were you involved in any other businesses downtown?
No, I was president of the downtown merchants for 2 years.
What was that like?
Well, it was time consuming. During that time, I got rid of the parking meters with the city's permission. And
what prompted you to do that?
Well, that was about right after the mall. They put the new mall in out here. And I figured that, you know, people weren't going to park downtown and pay the meters and they could go out to the mall for free. And so I worked on the city and come up with a plan to get rid of the parking meters. In fact, I'm the one that designed the parking plan they've got now, where they sell permits. I designed that. Of course, it's been changed, and like everything gets changed through the years to what they need to have, but I designed that along with getting rid of the meters.
Did you have much opposition in getting rid of them, or were people glad to see them go?
Well, people, I think, I didn't hear too much either way on it. City was a little against it because they were going to lose the revenue from the meters and take the meters out. So I came up with this plan of selling parking permits to make up the difference in meters. And I think it's worked fairly well during the years. There's always these people that work downtown that want to park their car in front of their store. But, so they objected to it. But that's something you just gotta ride the waves with.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about the meters before they were taken out? How many were there downtown?
Oh golly, they were all over town. They were from Greenwood to 4th Street and then down the side streets to Washington and Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. So there were quite a few.
Yes.
What kind of a meter was it?
Well, it's one of those old-time meters that you twist the handle on. Mm-hmm. You put your money in and twist the handle.
And then you had a city?
And a meter maid come around.
A meter maid would come and collect the coins?
Well, they'd check on make sure that the meters weren't in violation. And then she'd collect the money in, too. And early in the morning, she'd collect the money. I don't know how often they went around collecting money. I think it was just once a week.
And was it coins or tokens?
No, it was coins.
It was coins.
Yeah.
So you got rid of the parking meters?
Yes. Oh, Lenny, but we, while I was present, that's when we got our Christmas decorations downtown, which was used for a lot of years, quite a few years, and every year before. We were due to be put up by all the merchants get together and change all the lights in them and repair them, and the city would put them up for it.
That was all covered by the downtown merchants?
Yes.
Can you think of other activities that you were involved in during that time?
No, I really don't remember any of that. I always tried to have something going down there.
What was the relationship like at that time with all the downtown merchants? Were you a close community working together?
Yeah, we were. When you're downtown merchants, well, we would have our meetings and get together and discuss stuff. Well, we had a good tight-knit group down there at that time.
How were you, when people wanted to come in with a new business or something like that, what was the atmosphere about that? Were people really willing to bring in new ideas?
Well, no, I don't remember. I don't think there was any new businesses came in while I was in there. The downtown businesses were all filled up, the business spaces. Of course, we were all against the mall, but from downtown. But, we couldn't help that progress.
How did that change your business?
Well, it affected it some, but really what hurt the downtown business was the state come through and tore up the street, the main street, and rebuilt it one summer, and it was torn up all summer long, and that killed our business downtown, and it never did come back after that.
What was their motivation in changing the highway? Was it in bad shape?
Well, it needed to be changed, but they tore that up to put in all new sidewalks downtown. Nice when it gets through, but it sure killed the business. We fixed our back entrance so people could come in the back door of the store. And I got together with the merchants in our block and we painted the alley, the street. In the alley, we painted it red and put flower pots out there and all. It was kind of neat.
You painted the whole pavement?
Yeah. From
red?
Yeah, the whole block there in the alley, he painted from one end to the other, painted it red.
So this project went on for quite some time?
It was all one summer.
It was all
torn up, yeah.
Do people still talk about the red streak?
I don't think so. It's been so long ago, nobody remembers it.
Had you had sidewalks out in front of the store before that time?
Oh, sure.
They were just old.
Yeah, they just come down there. Everything had sidewalks. There were sidewalks there from when I could remember. When they still had horses going up and down at them,
mm-hmm.
had sidewalks there.
The structure of the road itself really didn't change then?
No, it didn't. But it sure hurt the downtown.
When did the freeway come through? Was that quite some time before you had the business?
Yeah, I think I started to work with him for some intent before the freeway, but the time we had the store, the freeway was there.
Did you feel like that had any impact on the business?
Well, it got rid of the trucks running down the street. Truck traffic was getting quite a bit heavier then. Nothing like it is today, but it was getting heavier.
And that traffic was coming right downtown LaGrange?
Yeah.
At the time. But there were no other changes as far as losing business downtown? Or?
I don't think so. I think that the biggest change would have been Safeway. Now, they had moved up there before I was in the hardware. But then they rebuilt their store. And they pulled all their stores into one store. They had, I think I told you they had five, but I'm trying to remember where they all were, and I can't remember all the Safeway stores.
They were all in operation at the same time, just in smaller locations,
yeah,
spread out around town?
Yeah, they were just small stores, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The biggest store, Safeway store at that time was where Globe Furniture is, and it was only half of that building instead of the whole building. So you know, that was one of the bigger stores.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you some kind of an idea of what size the stores were. There was one over on Tour, and there was one there in the Poly Hotel that I told you where the Green Parrot was.
So during your time here in Union County, not only have you seen a lot of changes with the business and have owned a couple of your own businesses, but there were also some really significant events that happened, such as fires, and I wonder if you could just tell me about some of your memories of the...
Well, we did have a flood once.
Okay.
Grand Round River flooded and come down Jefferson and filled a lot of basements and stuff.
How did the people handle that?
Well, I was up most of the night pumping water out of the basement of the store. But I did, when I got my son to run the pumps, he got the pumps in there. So we had the, I don't remember whether it was two or three pumps going to keep the water out of the basement. And,
was there a lot of damage with that flood?
I don't think so. It might have been people who lived along the river might have had some problems. Seems like one, well, I shouldn't say one back because I don't remember for sure, but it does seem like one house floated down the river.
Mm-hmm.
It was along the river. It washed out bridges. I see the Island City Bridge, the railroad bridge of Island City washed out. And the bridge on Spruce Street washed out.
So were people equipped to get around? Or did people just sort of stay home? What was the reaction of the community?
Well, it didn't last all that long. I don't think it caused any great uproar, except all the water. But the pumps on the, we used to have pumps on the underpass. That was the old underpass. It was only half as wide as it is today. And the pumps quit working, and the underpass filled full of water. And then, of course, the water coming down the street backed up. I stayed up one night watching the water, and it was coming up the block towards the store, and it finally got up past the Granada Theater there, and then it got high enough it was running over the pump in the road down on First Street, and it was running on down, so that it didn't bother us at the store. But it was a drain pipe that runs down the alley, and that was leaking, and so the water was coming into the store from that pipe. Later they split that pipe up and run one down Jefferson and a new one down the alley, so that they kind of took care of that, but then we've never had that high of water since. But you want to talk about the fires now?
Sure.
Well, the Grand Round Apartments used to be three stories. And one night it caught fire. And it burned quite badly, and they tore the top floor off. And just fixed the two floors and rebuilt it. In that same year, Apartment fire was after the downtown fire, and downtown was really a big fire. That's the one that, I want to look at these pictures. But the downtown fire burned.
Okay, we're just discussing some of the fires that happened in this area. And you were telling me about the downtown fire.
The downtown fire burned 3 businesses out in the middle of where the parking lot is for the bank down there. It burned all that out of there. And then the Elks Lodge burned. And I think they tore that down to just two stories. I think it was 3 stories. They used to have apartments upstairs, rooms upstairs. These old single people could live up there. And with that one, they had the wall from the fire was sitting up there all by itself, nothing holding it one day, and the wind blew it off. Blew the top wall off of it. And there was one of the merchants was walking along the building, the side of the building there when that happened, and he stepped in against the building. The wall came down and smashed 3 cars sitting there.
Quick thinking for him.
Lucky thinking. And let's see, I think I had another fire. Well, another interesting fire we had, it wasn't an accident. That's when they burned the old Grand Round Hospital. They used it for fire training for the firemen. They burned that old hospital. And if you want to go back far enough, as we talked about the high school fire, when it burned.
Do you want to say more about that?
No, not so. I just had it down here. Did
you have kids in the school at the time that the high school burned?
Not hardly. I was about 10 years
old. Oh, you were younger when that happened. Okay.
I was about 10 years old.
Did anyone ever talk about the cause of that fire?
It was set.
It was set?
Yes. At the time, the high school, he'd set the fire at the high school, and while everybody was building or fighting the fire at the high school, we went over on the point of the hill over there where the college is sitting now, and set a fire over there on, in the house over there that was empty, but set that one on fire. And he went to prison for that.
Was this a rebellious teenager?
No, it wasn't. It was a volunteer fireman.
Oh, no.
How did the townspeople react to that?
Well, I was young enough, I didn't. They, of course, they didn't think it was too good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A little upset about it, but there's not much you can do about it.
Mm-hmm. Was there another fire when you were a child? That was the one at high school?
Yeah, that's the one I got here.
So with the other fires in the area, did people talk a lot about the cause of those fires as well?
No, not necessarily. A fire is a fire, and they didn't know what it's like. The courthouse burned. I think I told you, said that. But I never did hear any cause. We didn't talk about that. You know, news didn't travel quite like it does today. They didn't have television, and I see that they have radios. Yeah, I guess radio was in then. A lot of people didn't even have radios.
Mm-hmm. How did you get your information? Were your parents interested in what was going on with fires, or?
Well, my dad was a mail carrier, and of course he was around town, and he'd get the news. You know, a kid that age, you don't care too much about the news.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any other thing that happened that kind of stands out in your mind? Now, I think you had mentioned before when the downtown fire was occurring, you were actually down there watching that fire.
Yes.
This was later.
Yeah, this was after we had come back to the Grand, that downtown fire was.
So tell me about that day. How did you happen to be at the fire?
Well, I was hauling bricks from the brickyard. I think it was on a Sunday, and I was hauling bricks from the brickyard to build a fireplace in my house. And I'd gone over to the window and got a load of bricks, and when I come back, the fire truck was downtown, and the fire was just getting started. I unloaded the bricks and we went back downtown, and it was really going big.